Blog Talk Radio.
Nah, you ain't wanna with me. A real MC, man, last of a dying breed. Nah, you ain't wanna with us. Fuck around and find out I'm robbing the plugs. Go and check the facts, I'm a killer on the track. A redneck who just raps, who would've ever thought of that? I'm out to jack the plaques from your favorite rapper stash. Now go and fall back before you meet the wolf pack. Shit, I stay away from these hoes. These ratchet ass bitches always fucking with Joe. Shit, I always switch up the flow, so y'all don't never know where I'm going with it, bro. I tried to be nice to these rappers who this lie, but then I got pissed because y'all stepping out of line. And then y'all wonder why I'm breaking my disguise. Ain't no time for nice when my life's on the line. Yo, welcome to the Shark Tank. Vicious motherfuckers, and we never gonna break. Welcome to the Shark Tank. Rowdy and ambitious, we don't ever fuck with fake. Yo, welcome to the Shark Tank. Vicious motherfuckers, and we never gonna break. Welcome to the Shark Tank. Rowdy and ambitious, we don't ever fuck with fake.
We don't fuck with them. Nah. You spit. We good.
Yeah. My ambition is lifted when I sit spitting on a strict mission to defeat the competition. Have to build a coalition with the ammunition to silence all the haters here to see the mortician. Quit your flexing.
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, crazy people of all generations. We proudly present to you that weekly thing we like to call Full Jugular. Now, I want to thank everyone for tuning in week after week after week after week and making us number one in our time slot. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. In a world where a lot of podcasts are just two or three people sharing opinions and having fantasies, you've made us into an actual real podcast. So thank you. I once heard a real podcast was if you had three or four listeners, and we've got many. So thank you. All over the world, and you guys really reach out and support the show, and we want to thank you for that. You know, all rants aside, last week, very nutty show. I couldn't believe it. 2 hours before the show came on, someone I thought was a very good friend and had been supportive attacked me over nothing out of nowhere, and it was just such a personal, vicious attack of someone that I knew for many years who had even helped me out one time when I was down and out. It was really, really super shocking to me, and I responded with, I thought, the right amount of vitriol for what the situation required. Real quick, before we bring our guest in, we're going to do what we always do, our monologue here. So during the monologue, we'll read a couple letters I received here. Just real quick, we'll paraphrase. Here's one. Ron, I really love the show, but I think you should apologize to Bill. You were kind of tough on me and mean to him. Yeah, fuck you. No. Okay, let's read another one. Dear Ron, really love the show, but you shouldn't really have your personal beefs on the show. Yeah, fuck you. This is my show, and it's about me. That's what the show's about. It's about me and wheels and real life. It's kind of like the Seinfeld show, the show that's about nothing, and then we have guests. So where do you fucking people get off? You know what I mean? This is my show. Okay, this show's number one because I didn't kiss your ass and do shit the way you wanted me to do it, and that's why you tune in week after week after week, because you don't know what you're going to hear. And then people like Gino Told You So, thank you very much, who has a lot of good buzz in the business, go and put the show over by saying the show is the real deal because show is funny, show is the real deal because it's the real deal. And you don't get to be the real deal by taking viewer mail and then just watering your shit down and becoming like all the other boring, pandering podcasts that this show absolutely will never fucking be. And I never signed on for that shit, and I will shut the show down before that happens. Okay, so that being said, we've got an awesome guest, one of my oldest friends in the world, on here tonight. I'm really excited to have him on because he's the real deal, too. Someone I have a lot of more respect for than 99.9% of the people in this world, actually, and a real friend to me, you know, had our ups. See, people don't understand that here's how a real friendship works. A real friendship stands the test of time, goes through a lot of shit, but in the end, you always come back to your friendship because that's the core of what it was all about to begin with and what gives it its heart and its meaning. And see, that's like real friendships can always come back. Things that can't be repaired like that were not real friendships. Usually, like especially in the wrestling business, it's because people are trying to get something out of you, especially guys that promote like me or guys that have connections like me. People just want things from you. And if they can't get those things from you, then you're the biggest asshole, like we talked about last week about the trainer. You know, he's my trainer. I love him. You know, oh, I'm somewhere else now. Yeah, fuck that guy. Piece of shit. You know, that we told the story last week about the scorpion and the frog. And that story will always be apt. Now, let's bring my guest in real quick. Let me amp up his stuff. I really appreciate him being here. Doesn't look like Wheels will make it this week, but as we know, he's been going through a lot of stuff. Wheels comes on when he can. Maybe he shows up. Doesn't look like he'll be here this week. If you're hurting, my friend, I love you, Wheels. I hope you're listening, and I hope you'll be back next week. I think we're supposed to have Sonny Ono, but we'll see. But we will definitely be back. Now, let me bring my guest in at this time, play a little music.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
My buddy, my pal, and the music stopped, and it pissed me off, but we'll pick up where we left off. My buddy, my pal, many time world champion, wrestler in Puerto Rico, insane deathmatch wrestler, the big war chief. Like I
rolling,
said,
rolling, rolling.
My buddy,
though the
streams are
swollen, keep them cookies rolling hard.
Boom, Chuck.
Hey, Ron, thanks for having me on, buddy. Happy to be here.
no problem.
Now, I heard the introduction, and I appreciate the introduction, but you said insane deathmatch wrestler. I mean, I know I'm no Phoenix kid, but
I have a funny story about that, but we'll get to that later.
let's just start off with shots fired right out the gate here. You know what I mean?
I was watching your fire match in the cage at NWWA today. I was thinking how guys call themselves insane deathmatch wrestlers. Oh boy, what a world. What a world. I just don't get it sometimes. I remember wrestling these luchadors when I first went to Washington, and they didn't even tell me, and they put me in a ring and put light tubes over the top of me and just go into a plancha and land on top of me and bust all the light tubes on me, and I'm just like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? And these kids, if these people did that to them, they would shit their pants. We live in this world that has become unreal. You and I go way back. We go so far back to the beginning of wrestling that most people, only from when you and I started, I can't remember too many other people that are still working to this day right now. Can you think of anybody else who's still going?
Yeah, I can't. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if we've hung around too long, or we just endured and lasted and survived.
We've known each other since we were rookies. I mean, you and I have known each other literally since we first started. When I first started with Mamba and broke in.
Yeah, I think I was. I think I'd
been. Dale.
Well, yeah, I'd already trained, but I think I was in 2 years when I met you. I think.
Yeah, then you had come down to work the circuit. Yeah, you had come down to stay and work the circuit, and that's where I met you, because we were all in the same stable. We were all in Mamba Incorporated. We were all heels, and that's how we met. Is that for a short time we were all in the same stable, and those were fun times. Remember, they kept trying to get you and I to put the tag team titles on us, but of course politics back then. Mm-hmm. You know, and all the old guys, remember, all the guys that were out of their prime had the belts, and they didn't want to put the belts on you or put the belts on me. You know, same story of old time. That's like when I started promoting. I started putting belts on guys, you know, like at SCW and the other companies. Like, guys always talk about, how I held them down. But for every guy that thinks, when I was first starting that I held down when I didn't know any better – there's 100 guys now that you've seen that I've propped up, you know, and helped, took into Japan, took into Mexico, you know, done all these things to help. Wrestling is a real, what have you done for me lately type of business, right or wrong?
Yeah. And to be totally honest, all of us think we're better than we are. And some are better than others, but a lot of people think that they should be in a spot that they're not ready for, you know? And other guys are ready for it. That's just the way it is. But everybody thinks. Oh, I know, but I mean, throughout our careers, I mean, that's just kind of how it is. And there's a lot of young guys.
Oh, yeah, I've been a cocky asshole, but then I met that guy called Cahagas, remember, and that changed everything.
Yep.
That literally for me, if anybody needs to see what would be a big career lightning rod changing moment, just go watch World's Famous Flea Market, Von Hess versus Cahagas. Go watch that in its entirety. And when you walk away with the, if you didn't think that was in a humbling moment and something that, I mean, come on, who would think that the NWA would become a big thing again and that I would be in the match known in the least competitive world title match of all time? Literally. That was voted.
Yeah, but
we're talking about the Tommy Rich title run, everything. Mine was the worst.
But that could have went two ways for you. It could have been devastating, or you could use it for a learning experience, and that's what you chose to do. A lot of guys wouldn't have, but you actually used that as a learning experience and benefited from it, and you turned things around, and you noticed that as a changing point in your career, and that's to be commended, because a lot of people would have went the other direction.
I got so lucky, dude. The first thing they said to me after I did that first big main event in Japan is I walked through the curtain, and they hugged me, and a guy whispered in my ear, well, no one's, and I didn't even know they'd ever, dude, we're in Tokyo, okay? And it's my first big match there in the main event, and we killed it. And I'll never forget, we come through the curtain, and a guy hugs me and goes, well, I guess no one's going to talk about the Cahagas match anymore. And, dude, I almost fucking fell over. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even know they had ever even seen it. But I guess everyone has seen that match. And
but,
a lot
but
of people don't realize
show business
that
adage.
I took a good beating.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go
it's
ahead.
The old show business adage that there's no such thing as bad publicity. They're talking about you. When you need to worry is when nobody's talking about you anymore.
And that thing went viral because he was so hot at the time, and because people don't understand that he was running through some of the best talent in the business in 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. You know, you've wrestled him. And
yeah.
I went almost 14 minutes with him and took a lot of stuff. And people think, you know the stuff that a lot of people don't, like that me and, me and Tokyo are really good friends outside of the ring. We're really close. And like you and I are, we're all buddies. So he wasn't trying to hurt me in that match at all. He didn't stiff me once, nothing. It was all business. If anything, I blew a couple spots. He covered me. He made himself look good. It wasn't his job to make me look good when I looked bad. So I got humbled by my own inexperience and mistakes, which is why I went to the woodshed and trained hard, for a comeback. And then I got really lucky that Edzo worked with me so much and that Japan gave me that chance, and that really worked out for me, which got me to the Philippines. The Philippines is getting super hot. Everybody's going to the Philippines now. And I got to go do that big fur, before all this shit shut down, everybody was going there. But now only me and Beast got to wrestle there because COVID killed everything. So when it comes back, you watch cheap. You'll end up, it's going to be so hot. The Philippines is blowing up. And it's a good place to wrestle. These guys got good buildings and good situations, and they're big fans of the show. As some of you saw on my page, but they've got a big event coming up in the Philippines with the Chief versus the Machine versus Jarhead, and that's going to be really big. And they're actually going to do like NXT like taping because they have their own building. They're going to do their own taping and then put it out on the web, I guess. So,
yeah.
And odds are, since I'm the voice of the American voice over there, I'm sure I'll be dubbing that over for them in English. And, we've got the show coming out, 183 to, Exit 183 to Violence. And I was going through the footage, and I found Asuka's first ever big match that no one's ever seen. It's intergender. It's Asuka versus this big Japanese dude. No one's ever seen this match before. And it's brutal. You know how it is at World Underground, dude. It's strong style. Oh, dude, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. The finish, when I put this up and you see the finish rod, you're going to be like, damn. You know what I mean? Like, damn. So, and you see why this chick made it to WWE and why she's been multiple time women's world champion, because she's tough. So, definitely exciting. So, how are things going with you? Are you ready to go back to the Puerto Rico when COVID's over, or how's all that going for you? How's everything looking for the big Chief?
Yeah, they just got a hold of me the other day, and they're tentatively setting some stuff up and I guess there's talks of things are going to open up there maybe in the next couple of months. So hopefully we'll get rolling again. Just kind of waiting. And, you know, there's a few. I did a couple shows over in, not in Puerto Rico, but here in the States in November. There's still a few places running, but Wisconsin did a show up there. I actually had a surprisingly good turnout. I think we had 500 and something people there, which I was kind of surprised with COVID, but. And
people are dying for entertainment, Rod. People are dying to be entertained right now because they've been locked in like sheep, you know, for months. So I think wrestling is going to come back in a big way. So
yeah.
I think indie wrestling is going to draw again.
The two events I did in November were the first thing I'd done since mid-March. So because most states
everybody's selling out their stuff. Everybody seems like whatever their capacity is, everybody seems to be filling it. So even if it's limited, if it's limited capacity, people are turning people away because, you know, and it's going to suck, I think, when it all comes back because they're talking about Disneyland being 20%, you know, running 20% capacity. And, oh, man, what a world. What a world. Can you imagine that, Rod? Disneyland was fucking fucked up enough standing in line all day. Now it's going to be 20% capacity.
Yeah, I was actually there, Disney World in Florida. We were there 5 days before they closed it, they were open for full capacity, but it wasn't because people were starting to freak out about the corona. So we actually, I decided not to buy the fast pass. I told my family, I said, we'll wait till we get there and see how it is. And we literally did not wait in line. The only thing that had lines was the new Harry Potter ride, which you had to get a ticket ahead of time anyway. But everything else, we literally could get off and on in about 10 to 15 minutes and less. Sometimes it was like 5. You didn't really even need a fast pass.
Well, Squatch and I lucked out, too. We were in Japan right before it hit. You know, we were in Japan that July right before it hit. And we went to Tokyo. We went to Tokyo Disney for 3 days. And and I went by myself a couple of days. So I just rode single rider, you know, the whole time I was there. So I didn't wait in any lines at all. Because they have single rider on everything there. So I just went and did single rider on everything. Yeah, and I love Tokyo Disney. It's, you know, it's incredible. It's really clean and it's really nice and it's really quiet. And oh yeah, it's a really nice place. So, and they have a bunch of cool rides that they only have at Tokyo Disney. So, and there were a couple of them are Raiders of the Lost Ark rides, which is my Jimmy Jam. So they have a really cool Captain Nemo underwater ride.
Years ago they used to have that at Disney World, but they got rid of it. You know, because they bring in
inside a big mountain there, and like a big volcano mountain. It's really cool.
Don't they have a Godzilla theme park over there too in Tokyo?
Yeah, they do, with a giant Godzilla that you can like walk in and stuff. They have a theme store with a giant Godzilla like that too that you can shop in and stuff. And we've been there. Me and Doug have been there. So yeah, one of these nights we're all gonna have to go, Rod, because it's so much fun over there, and it's the Tokyo Disney's fun and the Tokyo Disney Sea across the, which is their California Adventures, that's even more fun than their Disneyland. And that's where Rod and I go all the time. So, and they have a big old New York hot dog cart that we like there. Oh, we have a really good time. So we go over there and tear it up. So
I would love the Godzilla stuff. I'm a huge Godzilla fan. I don't know. You probably already knew that, but I have
everything. Oh yeah,
Godzilla.
They have a giant store.
I'm waiting for this new movie to come out.
Their giant store. Oh, do you know it's coming out for free on HBO Max, right? Because of COVID.
They moved it from May to May 21st to March 26th now, which is good. But yeah, I'll probably still see it in the theater though, because I got to see that on the big screen.
Well, I can't believe they're going to have all those movies free on HBO Max. I'm shocked. They even moved up Suicide Squad too, the one from Guardians of the Galaxy. Did you see they moved that up and they put that on there too?
Yeah,
I was super excited to see that. There's a lot of good stuff. Like, have you seen WandaVision yet on Disney Channel Plus?
No, I haven't. I have that though. I have Disney Plus.
Oh, you should watch it. It's really good because it leads into the new Doctor Strange movie that leads into the new Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
And that's the Spider-Man movie that's going to have all three Spider-Mans in it. You know, from all three of the different movies.
So
yeah,
how is wrestling going in Arizona? Are they doing anything in Arizona right now?
No, but COVID is so bad here right now that everything is like shut down. And there's a few small things running, but not with crowds. I was going to be trying to do something down here, but right now it is surging so bad that the hospitals are all full and stuff. So, like, the venues that were taking phone calls and setting stuff up with us aren't even taking phone calls right now.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, I'm going to be
with Washington.
Mhm. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna be 55 in March, so I'm quickly dying.
yeah, well, me too. By the way, I'm 53 this year.
Yeah, I'll be 55 in March, but I have to get back down to Arizona because I still owe Cody Baker a wrestling match.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep. And I have Japan's belts. How do you think I feel? I have the belts from Japan. Me and Doug do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have their world tag team. We have three of, I, not just one, I have three of their belts at my house. And I'm trying to retire too because I'm 53 and my back is just shot, you know, because I've been doing this so long, you know. And now that I'm doing the toy company, as you see, we're doing the toys mm-hmm. and I'm doing the commentating and I'm just getting older that, you know, that Terry has asked me to step back and kind of like not die before
yeah,
my
I don't
time.
Plan on retiring yet, but yeah, my knees and stuff, I'm getting a little tore up too, but I don't plan on retiring just yet. But I'm definitely probably, by the time everything opens back up, I'll probably come back with a much tighter schedule than I had before. I'll probably just do bigger shows in Puerto Rico and Ohio and a few other things. I probably, you know, I usually do the Texas Hall of Fame every year, sometimes the one up here in Iowa, but I definitely probably won't be hitting two or three states a weekend like I was before. That's, you know, especially after
I'm
going to
play it by ear myself. I've lost a lot of weight during COVID. I dropped a ton of weight just to try to stab off like my back injuries because I had a really bad back injury and a hip injury. And I broke my hip, or a little, sounds like an old guy injury, but I broke my hip on a 3-day tour with Cactus League right before the break because a board popped up on their ring when I was doing a leg drop and hit me right in the hip, dude. And I literally had to wrestle the next 2 days with a black and blue Oompa Loompa on my hip. Mm-hmm. And I was fully bumping. Yeah, well, two other guys that took that injury, they sat out the rest of the weekend that were half my age. But you know me, I'm old school. I came to make my money, so I worked. And I didn't just work. I bumped. And
it's definitely a generation thing. I mean, back in the day, you know, in the 80s when we got in, it was still people just didn't miss, you know. I mean, if you were booked, you showed up.
Worked.
You know, that's how you got paid.
We worked.
Worked through injuries back then. Worked through injuries back then. Nobody does now, you know.
Well, it was funny. It was worth it because I worked at Eli McGlykid, who's pretty, you know, from Lucha Underground, and Doug and I worked him and this guy from England, and the show was dead, and on the show, Gino Told You So, and all these awesome, got Gilbert, and all these people were on, and we ended up stealing the show that night, so it was worth it, you know, and I, you know, I don't know if you know who Roman Alexander is, he was in the match, and I bumped for that kid a bunch, and he's a big kid, and to his credit, he didn't hurt me. So he didn't, and if he would have like landed on me wrong or anything, he could have really fucked me up because I was pretty injured. But I fully bumped out for the kid and he protected me. And we ended up having for 2 days in a row, we had awesome matches.
Mm-hmm.
The only match that sucked was the one where I got hurt. The one where I got hurt was terrible. Any match
what
you get hurt
on
in usually ends up being terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you plan on doing now? Are you permanently going to be in Arizona then? I guess you and I haven't really talked.
No. I'm only here. I'm just here visiting my family. I'm not here forever. I've been kind of keeping my plans close to the vest, but no, I only came here to visit my family and just get a break from stuff that was going on in Washington because COVID and everything. And just, there was some transfer of houses and property and Terry's kids grew up and moved out, and there was just a lot of different behind-the-scenes things going on. And so I'm actually going to be buying an RV and to live in, a really nice one. And I'll just tell everybody here. So Terry and I are pretty much buying an RV, and we'll be living in Washington and then going back and forth between that and Arizona to check on my family and stuff and to be around our kids. And we want to be mobile. So, and then that's why by the end of the year, I'm going to retire from wrestling.
I saw your spot in California, talking about parking. That's one of the places I plan on spending time
just sitting on the beach, reading books and smoking my pot and relaxing and just being me. And, I've had a pretty hard life, and that, I've had some horrendous injuries, and that I'm slowing down. And Terry and I've been saving our money, and we just think that why not go enjoy our lives, you know, while we can, instead of just whipping and killing ourselves all the time. And that's why I did it, worked and went out and wrestled and saved every penny, because, you know, I mean, out of all the promoters, I was always known as the Titus, but that's why we never went out of business, because I didn't spend good money after bad. I was smart. You know, I spent the smart money, and that's why I ended up doing some bigger things like you. You and I are two of the only people that ever went to Oregon and sold the place out, and we're both from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you ever thought about that? You and I are the two people that went, and like me against Havoc and you against a couple of people are the people that actually sold shows out for NAWA down there, which is the only league that really ever sold out there.
And you know, you think everybody on the undercard, I mean, I don't want to get into bash or anything, but you think everybody on the undercard would be happy about it because they're in front of a bigger crowd. But it's amazing the backlash.
Not in Oregon.
When you go out there and you're successful, the local guys don't like it when somebody comes in and actually helps them draw a bigger crowd. They don't like it. Welcome to my world, dude.
Oh, dude, they ran just like you. You and I did the same thing. We came, we built up, we did everything we were told, and then we got run out. Basically,
yeah.
You know, we say we left, but we were pretty much put in a tenable position where we had to leave because of the bullshit going on with all the guys.
Yeah, so. I didn't have to leave, but towards the end, you know, it was welcome, you know, open arms in the beginning, and then towards the end, you know, while certain other – not a lot of the regular guys that were there, a couple of them, but then they had some other local guys they brought in, and of course then the jealousy stuff starts, and I'm just like, I'm not going to go somewhere and put up with drama. I'll just go, you know,
yeah.
I got other places to go, you know, I got other places to go.
They're always talking about somebody.
It's not just money with me. I got to make my money, but I want to have fun too. And even if the money's there, but I'm not having fun, I'm not going to go there anymore at this age. You know, it's like I want to go there and make money and I want to have fun.
But Rod, what I want to ask you is, do these guys think if they just say something and they run you down enough times that makes it true? Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. They like, let's say you get paid to go to Puerto Rico. I get paid to go to Japan. Oh no, we buy our own plane tickets. We're paying to be on the show. Like, they try to make up their own reality for like what's really happening. It's like, and so mm-hmm. you know what I did with guys like Phoenix Kid and them recently? I said, let's play a game. Show me your PayPal. You show me your PayPal and I'll show you mine. Because what mm-hmm. I do is I keep all my, you know, I told you years ago, because people kept talking shit, I opened up a PayPal, and I made all my promoters start sending me my money on PayPal. And then the byline mm-hmm. saying, for plane ticket, because I have to file that shit on my taxes.
Right.
If you actually make money, you have to file that shit on your taxes. But see, most guys
yep.
wouldn't understand that, because they've never had to file any money on their taxes, because they never made any money.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and they think that they can just sit there and they can just warp reality. It's like when I wrestled Kevin Nash years ago. You know how many times these guys try to say I never wrestled Kevin Nash for WCW? But it was only reported on in Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Remember, I made Wrestler of the Week. These are facts. I try to tell people,
yeah.
How can you change? I have a copy of it sitting in my book that my mom put together for me. It's like...
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to, like, try to change reality and tell people? It's like when I went to Mexico and I won the belt there, and they tried to tell me that I won the belt in Arizona, and I know I crossed the border into Mexico, Because I know when I get strip searched and patted down, I know that shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know that shit. Like, crossing over is always a bitch. Especially when you're carrying championship belts and shit. It isn't fun. Like,
yeah.
This, I'm
you
talking
know my
about
style,
the haters
though,
now. The haters.
Yeah. You know my style, though. I never respond to them because I just don't let them get under my skin. Like, a lot of times fans and other people will come to my defense and put up a video clip or something. But when I be on, like, you're not getting booked, or which everybody used to post my schedule, and it's like, say, this is ridiculous. What do you mean he's not getting booked? Or when I'm a trash bag wrestler, like, people tag me in it. I hold a record on there. I think people tag me in it. And like, I never go on there and even look at it. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I literally don't. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I know me, and I live a good life.
I've been on there, and I've had guys on my show that have been on there. So it's all perspective. You know what I mean? But I've seen a lot worse than anything of yours or ours that was ever on there. I'll be honest. Like, there is some stuff that is on those shows that is really super terrible. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, like the one where the guy does the flip and he turns around in the ring and breaks his leg.
Yeah.
Ouch. Or anything with that guy that does the backflips into the television sets.
Mm-hmm.
Superhuman.
Yeah, I got a friend who's a veteran too, and he's up in Minnesota, and he's close to our age, or in Wisconsin. He lives in Wisconsin, but he wrestles with me in Minnesota and Wisconsin a lot. And he's been on there. Him and I it was a running joke for years in the locker room. Like, for a while, he was ahead of me. He'd been on Trash Bag Wrestlers more, and then I was ahead of him, and it was back and forth. Like, we had a competition going who could see on there the most. We actually both, because you know how people send stuff in anonymously? We started sending our own shit in anonymously, trying to beat each other on who was on there the most. I was actually sending my own shit into
him. The guy that ran
anonymously trying to get on there.
Pretty cool too. You know, the guy that ran the page ended up being actually a pretty cool guy too. The guy from Texas that ran the page that went to Shawn Michaels school. He's actually a pretty nice guy. So everybody got to understand that everybody, if you're gonna put your shit out there, that everybody gets an opinion.
Oh yeah, when you're a performer, I said that on shows. A few people that actually attacked me came back later on and said, well, you're pretty cool. You got a good attitude about this. But I was on shows and they would get brought up, you know, on podcasts and everything. And I'm like, you know, because they're like, you never respond. I'm like, whenever you put anything out there, when you're a performer, when you put anything out there, you're in the public eye, everybody has a right to have an opinion on it. And you can, you know, you can have a good opinion or bad opinion, but that's part of what we do. I mean, if we're going to be worried about being criticized, then don't do something that's in the public eye, because you're not going to ever please everyone. You know what I mean? Like, look at the criticism that Hulk Hogan got for years and still gets, but he made more money than anybody. You know, people say Hulk Hogan can't wrestle and is a bad worker, but, you know, they would have loved to have been in his position or make his money. So it's the same old thing. Like, a lot of guys forget that it's not how good of a technical wrestler you are. This is a business and it's entertainment, and it's how many butts you put in the seats. It's not how many moves you can do. What workers in the back are looking for these days and what the fans are looking for are two different things.
Well, and also, like, look at it, people, like, AEW takes a lot of shit and they say it sucks and all that, but they're on TNT every week.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Literally,
and some of
they're on TNT every week.
And some of that stuff might not be my cup of tea. You know, I'm a little more old school, but you know, I don't criticize it. I like some of the new stuff, but I don't criticize it much because, you know, it's like, you know, like Kevin says, like Kevin Sullivan says, wrestling, you know, a wrestling show should be like the circus. You should have something for everybody. You know, some people don't like the trapeze act, but they like the elephants. Some people don't like the elephants, but they like the clowns. So you just have a little something for everybody out there, you know? So I don't criticize any of it because everybody has their own personal preference, what they like. And we should try to fill that niche for every single wrestling fan, and then you'll get more fans to the show. So I really don't criticize much.
No, I've learned that everybody gets an opinion. You know, it is what it is, and you know, I mean, everybody criticizes what I do enough that I just like live and let live.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's how I look at it. Like, I would, Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Rod.
Oh, yeah. I, what I was going to say is I, you know, every, like we said, you know, there's everybody likes different things. So I don't criticize, even the same way with music. Like, you know, there's some music I don't like, but somebody else likes it. So I don't say it's bad. It's just not my taste. Everybody has their own taste.
Right. Exactly. I mean, wrestling has always evolved for years and years from where it was, you know, to where it is now, and it's going to continue to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what do you plan on doing with the rest of your year? So you plan on going back to Puerto Rico and doing a few set spots?
Oh, yeah, I'll always be going back there. I can wrestle. Like, look at Chicky. I mean, after he had that third heart attack, he retired, but he was almost 61. Like, Chicky's, you know, kind of got forced into retirement now because of his heart condition. But, you know, in Puerto Rico, you can wrestle to an older age, because it's much more of an older school style there for the most part, and you know, a lot of brawling. So you can wrestle longer there, and the veterans are more respected over there than they are here. So it's kind of I think a little bit more, maybe Japan's probably, you know, like that too, where the veterans are, you know, held in higher regard. And here it's like, oh, the guy's too old, he needs to get out. But you can have a much longer career over there. So I'll probably, long after I finish my career here in the States, I'll probably still be doing stuff over there. And I plan on, you know, I don't know if you remember my old referee. He used to referee for my company up here when I had MXWA, Ray Rivera. But he referees in Puerto Rico too. But he actually lives in Tampa now, but he used to live up here in Iowa. But his father passed away, and I'm actually buying his father's house in Puerto Rico. So I actually plan on retiring over there, you know, eventually.
Yeah, you've been
saying
that for
years. I'll probably keep my house here and go back and forth a bit, but that's where we plan on being.
Rod, we're going to take a quick station break and be right back, okay? So we'll be right back with the Chief.
Okay.
We're going to take just a quick station break.
We'll be right back.
back. I apologize for that.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I started feeling nauseous, to be honest. All of a sudden, I started feeling like I was going to throw up. And sure enough, I ran to the bathroom and I threw up.
I hope you're feeling better now.
I'm fine, dude. I was just been running around all day and it's been hot. And I was sitting here and I was having a Mike's Hard Lemonade and it just hit me the wrong way. And all of a sudden,
yeah.
I'm like, I was like, I think I have to throw up. And I'm on the radio.
Oh, crap. I'd rather be there in that heat. I woke up this morning here and it was like 7 degrees. So,
dude,
much rather be in the heat.
I miss my kids terribly, though, Rod. The reason, hands on the table, the reason I'm here is there's a very close family member of mine that's having major surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here helping prep their house and get everything prepped for their surgery. And then once their surgery's over, I'm going to go back home. So, but my plan is to live both places. And then live on the beach too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what living
sounds like.
That's what living in an RV will do.
Yep. No, sounds like
and
a
I
good
don't
plan.
Need,
that's...
I don't need a lot of space to be happy. That's sustainable living. People don't understand that. You know, I don't need to carry a house and a house payment and heavy rent and all that into my retirement. If you live in an RV, your rent's $500-$600 a month tops. Most RV places are like $400 a month, and you get all your amenities there. You know, other than your food, you get everything. You know, everything's there, and you know, you can live all over really cheap. And there's a lot of free campsites all over the place too. So,
mm-hmm.
And then you know, and Terry and I both are just to the age where. Truth of the matter is, my back is so messed up because I've been in a couple of bad car accidents and I'm hurt pretty bad that they've been wanting me to retire for years. You know, my doctor's been saying you know you should retire. Your back's really messed up. You know, you shouldn't keep wrestling. So that's why I figure like you know I'm getting to the point where I'm getting to be known as a pretty good commentator and some other stuff in wrestling's open up. Plus I own a couple of wrestling companies, so I always have my hand in it and I'm a vet. But I mean I've been world champ in Japan. I'm the first ever Triple Crown champion in the history of World Underground. You know which is a worldwide company that's based in Japan. I've held the light heavyweight. Heavyweight and world tag team, and I'm the first one to ever do that. So
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the first ever in a company that's had 44 world heavyweight champions, you know, from all over the world, from like 9 countries. I'm the first ever Triple Crown champion. So that's a pretty good accomplishment. And I'm the first ever American to hold their world heavyweight championship. Now, I won't be the first most dominating American champion. Super Beast will be the most dominating champion because look at him. He's insane. That's why I recommend him. But he'll never get to be the first American champion. That honor will always be mine. I blazed the trail over there. I'm the one that I fought in the Kumite, and I made it to the main event over there. They didn't even want Americans in until they had wanted nothing to do with Americans until I went over there and started fighting. So,
you always have that. There can only be one first time, so you got that.
Just like in the Philippines, like they started doing the World Underground fights in the chains there, right? I was the first ever guy to fight in the chains there. They put me in their first ever match. And because I helped them get the franchise there. They flew me in, and I was in their first ever chain match. And I won it.
I've been following all your stuff. And, you know, that first one that you did over there in the chains, and it was in a museum-type setting. I know, like, it was a small museum. But I saw, you know, some guys over here criticize that because of the size of the facility it was in, you know, and the crowd, because they could only have so many people in there because it's a smaller thing. But I'm like, you know, you were still there. All these guys criticizing it haven't even been to Japan or wrestled in Japan. You know what I mean? and you were still there, and you were in front of Japanese wrestling.
Did you see the ticket prices? Did you see the prices
for
those tickets?
Yeah. But I don't know why people – it's just jealousy when people criticize stuff like that, because you still went there. You wrestled in Japan. You wrestled legit guys in front of Japanese wrestling fans, and the crowd liked what they saw. I mean, it's just but I saw people putting down that venue, and I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, and for
Ron,
the size of the place, it was full.
How come they don't mention that I also wrestled up for the Big Japan on shows that were sold out with the ring? You know, like you've seen the pictures on my page, and there's a DVD out now. How come, you know, they don't talk about those shows I did there, which were Ricky Fubuki, and it was sold out.
Yeah, and I saw those, but I'm just saying I wouldn't criticize the first one either, though, because that place could only hold so many, and it was pretty full.
Awesome.
But,
dude, I'm proud of all of it because it was all awesome experiences. And you know what?
Yeah.
The high end small shows are almost better because they're intimate. You get to do more. What you do means more, and more of the show is on your back. And every time that they brought us in, we've really brought it and they always have said that we have made the show better every time.
Yeah. But how many of these guys that criticize it have wrestled in places here that could have held, you know, five times the crowd you guys had, and they only had like a fraction of the crowd you guys had? How many guys here wrestled in front of 20 people, 15 people in a building to hold 500?
How many of those guys that criticize even have gear?
Exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's just that's the problem with this business anymore. Is like it's workers attacking other workers. It's ridiculous for their accomplishments, and it's just because everybody
Rod, I have to correct you. It's wannabes attacking real workers.
But everybody thinks they're better than the next guy, and they think, oh, I should be in that spot instead of him, and it's a jealousy thing. And it's like
the promoters
happy
and the
for
fans
other people.
Get to decide, Rod. The promoters and the fans, we get to decide. Only the promoters and the fans do.
Yeah, I'd be in the back of the locker room a lot, and the guy will come back, and he'll be running up to his friends, a young guy in the back, you know. How was my match? How wasn't my match? You know, asking his friends in the back, the other workers. And I'm like, you don't need to ask them. Did you hear the crowd? It doesn't matter what they thought, because a lot of guys in the back will tear apart a match that the crowd was going nuts for out front. You know, if you ask the guys in the back anymore what the best match on the show is, the one they tell you they think was the best match is not the one that got the most reaction. And I'm like, no, it was this match. And they're like, well, but there were, there were a lot of mistakes in that match. And I'm like, but it got the loudest reaction. The one that got the loudest reaction is the one that's going to bring the fans back next time. It doesn't matter what you
what
think.
They're gonna
remember. Yep. Because when the crowd, wrestling should be emotion. You know, we all do a lot of the same moves. People will forget what they saw you do, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And I tell people that all the time. If you get emotion out of them, it doesn't matter the moves. You want to tell a story. You want to draw them in and get emotion. And they will remember. You remember one of your favorite matches that you were at when you were a kid? That's because it made you feel emotion. That's why you still remember that 40 years later, you know? That it's not moves. It's the way, you know, it's the way it made you feel. And that's the stuff you remember. And guys don't get that now.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody gets into wrestling for a reason. And they get into it for, you know, a specific reason. And I think a lot of people, forget that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm on a recurring. There's this podcast. I don't know. You probably know about it. WPOV out of Canada, and with Thomas Little and some other guys on there. But they have a panel of wrestlers on every week, talk about the topic, a different topic every week. It's on Monday. Well, they record it on Monday nights and it's put out later. But they do it over Zoom, so it's live video. And Kevin's actually going to be coming on soon with us. But I'm on that show. They want me there every week. I'm not there every week, but I'm probably on it at least three times a month. But it's kind of a good show, and we talk about a lot of stuff like this, like the psychology and different things. We'll pick a topic every week, like heat or baby faces, or we'll pick a territory to talk about. And I'll have to talk to them about having you come on, because yeah, that would be, there's some topics probably that you would be one of the good panel members for on there. But we talk about a lot of this stuff, like, you know, why a lot of old school matches and stuff are remembered more than a lot of stuff now. And, you know,
sorry. Yeah, I don't know why that keeps doing that.
I thought we had somebody doing a run-in for a minute there.
Yeah, you make really, you were, what you were saying was so dramatic that even the soundboard was into it. So, but yeah, that's, I think that there's just some stuff missing right now. But I think they'll find their way, just like, this reminds me of, like, right before the Attitude Era hit. And everybody mm-hmm. was into that because it would, you know, there was a lot of potential, but there wasn't a lot of, you know, the product just wasn't there yet. You know, it had gotten pretty.
Yep.
I almost think they did it on purpose. Sale. so that time could recreate itself, because what happened with the Attitude Era is they took it so far that. Mm-hmm. There was nowhere else to go. I mean, once you blow Vince McMahon up in a limo, and you mm-hmm. know, you have people putting guns in people's mouths till they crap themselves and stuff like that. I mean, where do you go from there? You know, it was like ECW was, they took themselves to places where, you know, once New Jack threw that guy off into all those tables. I mean, there was mm-hmm. nowhere for New. I love New Jack, but where was New Jack supposed to top that? You know,
right,
what
it
I
gets
mean?
To the point to where how do you top something? And that's why I tell a lot of guys that go out there every night, some of the young guys, and they want to hit all their big moves every night. And I'm like, okay, what are you going to show these people when we come to this town next month? Don't give them everything in one night, because how are you going to top it? You know, you got to try to top it next time you're here. So. But yeah, I've been in the business long enough too. We know
AIWF contacts me, and they said, "Hey, we're crowning a world deathmatch champion. Would you like to fight Phoenix Kid in the tournament?" And I'm like, "He won't show up." You know what I mean? I was like, "Are you guys fucking kidding me?" I was like, "I can't afford to waste any more of my time publicly jerking off with somebody who won't fight."
Yeah.
I mean, he went and called my girl ugly and did all this fucked up shit and like really got personal and took it to a really fucked up place. And then, dude, that was.
Oh, Ron, when you guys were on with BJ on the BCW show, I was watching all that. I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, dude, he couldn't even fill 30 seconds of this 1 minute of debate time. But the minute that I was off the air and he was on there by himself, he had plenty to say.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he kept his chin in his chest the whole time I was talking to him. It's a good thing he was wearing a mask, because I'm pretty sure he was crying underneath it, you know?
Yeah, I deleted him. I deleted and blocked him off my shit, because he was talking all kinds of shit about you, and I'm like, I don't need to see this shit popping up in my timeline.
Well, yeah, he's pissed off because he got blackballed in Japan, because he went to Japan and tried to get me fired.
Yeah.
And that blew up in his face, because they were like, first of all, you're not even a wrestler, so why are you writing us?
He went over to Puerto Rico for some piss ant little company too, and he had to pay his own way. And it's one of the little rinky dink companies over there that, like, well, they ran a show during COVID when they weren't supposed to even, and Savio Vega went on and put a big post about him, pretty much got that company all blackballed. He said anybody that worked for them couldn't work for any of the major companies. And but yeah, he went over and worked for that little piss ant company over there.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure they bought his plane ticket.
Oh no, they didn't. That company didn't have any money. It's one of the small ones. There's
No. If you hear the throngs of Phoenix Kid fans, he's a big shot. They I'm sure that Vince McMahon as Vince McMahon as a side project buys his plane tickets.
Okay.
This is the world. This is the world these people live in, Ron. I'm sorry. But
hey, well, you know, if they posted it on Facebook, it's true, right?
Okay, so funny story. So the folder of fact show I did broke every record. The one I sent you, remember the one I had you listen to?
I listened to that too, yes.
The one where I broke down every single person that criticized me.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that I cut through them with ruthless precision?
I think
one
you
by
did.
One. I gunned them down
I enjoyed the show too, but I mean, I guess a lot of it, even more than the average fan that was listening, like I knew a lot of the background behind all of it, so I really enjoyed it.
because I had the balls to do it. A lot of people don't do, and I say it like it is, and I told the truth, and it was truth with facts is the most painful I find. Like, I try not to give people ammunition like that against me. Because it's like somebody calling you or I a racist. You can call me a racist all you want to, but I've never said, done anything that was racist, ever.
No.
You know, show me, like that movie said, show me the money. Because I've never done anything like that. I've always supported because I have family and still do that are not the same color as me, maybe. Like, I don't even see it that way. Like, I have, like, you know, I have stepkids I raised that are my real kids. Like, I just don't see things that way. My life's been more colorful than that, and I've been lucky to live just a different life. But people just think they can say or do anything and make it true, and especially this new cancel culture generation. And now, Rod, they're in charge now for four years because it's looking ugly again. I'm not into politics at all. I don't care who the president is. I'm not a big Trump guy. I'm not a big Biden guy. But I just have a bad feeling about
the state
of our country. Yeah, I have a bad feeling about the state of our country right now. Go ahead, Ron.
I was going to say, you don't need anybody to vouch for you, but I've known you for a lot. Oh, I mean, what, 35 years, 33 years, something like that? But I've been around you, not in the public. Like, you know, I've stayed in your home, you know, and been around you in the locker room, and I personally can vouch. Like, you're going to be yourself more around me than you're going to be in the public eye. And I've never heard you be racist towards anybody or anything like that. But, you know, I've been accused of the same thing, which is funny because everybody knows one of my traveling partner, one of my best friends is Beast, you know, Beast, and of course Beast and Debashi. Beast, Debashi's Yemen. Beast is from Chicago, and he's African American. But
what about Shane Taylor, who stayed in my house several times? Mamba, who was my trainer and my kid's
Mamba,
godfather. Yeah. Mamba,
yeah.
Mamba is Miles' godfather.
Yeah.
My son.
That's
Miles,
that's
his godfather.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those allegations are ridiculous, but that's what people do now. They want to label everybody and lump you and put their own label on you and lump you in a group. I mean, that's what they do to everybody. It happens to me too. I mean, that's just the way this world is now. Unfortunately, our country anyway, that's the way it is around here now.
It's
not going to get any better in the near future.
Dude, I've been called homophobic, all kinds of stupid shit. And I have a gay son too, stepson, which is just like, people just don't get it. Like, I don't get the luxury of having an opinion on any of that, because I have people in my family that are like that, and I accept my family for who they are. If you love people, you just have to. So, people just don't get it nowadays. We're in a country that's panicking and that's out of control. And I hope the wheel gets steered in the right direction soon, because I think that we're in trouble. And I'm bracing for, I'm hoping for the best, but bracing for the worst.
Yep. That's exactly how I feel about it. I told somebody that this morning. I'm hoping for the best, but expecting the worst.
Yeah, let's just hope that reason where, you know, works its way out in the end. And that I think hopefully that I know there's enough good people still in the world that they can make a difference, and that, you know, we can pull this out together, hopefully, as a people. But there's a lot of people in the young generation that have got to start pulling their weight, and they got to stop thinking that they know everything and realize that maybe the older generation may have something to offer them.
Yeah, eventually, if we have more people not working than are working, then the ones that are working aren't going to be putting out enough tax money to support the ones that aren't working. So everybody's got to pull their own weight, like you were just saying. I just wanted to add to that because I totally agree with that statement. We don't have enough people pulling their own weight.
Not only that, but people need direction anyways, because if you're young and you're not doing anything, it's a directionless life that ends up being empty and leading nowhere.
I haven't retired from wrestling, and then, you know, my business life either, like, at this point, because, like, my house here in Iowa that I have is paid for, and, I mean, I have everything, my vehicles, everything I have is paid for here, but I always have to have something I'm working towards. I have to have a goal, otherwise, my life feels like there's no direction. Like, at this point, I should be able to just retire and sit back and relax, but I don't know why I have that drive in me that I always have to be working towards something or planning something. You know, I think you somewhat have that too. So that's why you kind of get sucked back into everything all the time. It's hard
kids,
to just sit and do nothing.
I gave my kids my house. I gave my kids most of all my belongings, except for a small amount of things, because I want to live sustainably in my retirement. But I'll always be working towards having a little bit better of a life, or just having, you know, I just like being stable, you know, a roof over my head and food in my belly, you know, and having some dog treats for my dog, you know, doesn't hurt either.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, I don't have a lot of wants and needs in my life anymore. You know, we've had some pretty great times and some pretty great lives. I mean, the last 10 years were pretty good, Rod, for the, you know, we definitely, if this ends up being the end, we went out with a bang. We had pretty good careers.
Yeah, and it really, at towards the end, when we got older, it even got better, I think, to some extent. You know, we did a lot of stuff here from mid-40s to mid-50s. It's been quite the ride. That's what I'm pretty satisfied with everything. And even, you know, I mean, you have some stuff in your, you know, jumbled in your personal life now, but, like, you were taking your annual trips to Disneyland every year, and, I mean, you know, and then you got to go to Disney Japan a few times, and so you've actually, even though we have stumbles here and there, you've had a pretty good life inside and outside the ring, I think. Like I said, there might be some rough patches now, but things will get back on track.
Yeah, actually, things are getting back on track for me because I just didn't give up. That's the main thing in life that you have to learn, is you just can't give up when things are bad.
You can't have the good times without the bad times. The bad times make you appreciate the good times even more.
Yeah, and COVID has definitely given us plenty of time to, you know, analyze what's going on around us and appreciate it. You know, I think everybody's had time to sit back and realize, you know, how good we have it.
I think a lot of people took it for granted until this hit, and then they're like, wow, my life before wasn't so bad. Because this last year has been rough.
Exactly. I was rolling pretty hard before all this happened. So like this little hole in the momentum I have rolling, but we'll get back there. And if not, you know what? Life always has in store for you. I think you know what it has in store for you.
Yeah. Things happen for a reason, and it takes you in different directions. Like you know, you might not have this new dream you have with the RV and things that might not have formulated without this COVID situation. Because you might have just kept rolling like you were, and so this might be for the better in the end. I mean, it might send you in another direction that'll make your later years much happier.
Yeah,
never know.
I'm gonna live longer, and I definitely think I'll be happier and live longer. So I definitely am ready for some calm from the storm. Wrestling's stressful, especially when you promote and you're involved in it all the time. I'm ready to move past all that and have less stress. So,
yeah, you know, I was flying or driving places every weekend and wrestling two or three times a weekend. And I really thought after when COVID hit and things shut down that I was going to miss it. And I was talking to promoters, you know, that are good friends of mine out in Ohio. We still got together this year. I've been to Ohio and they've been over here since wrestling hasn't been happening and just doing, you know, cause we do stuff together outside of wrestling now too. And I got back into motorcycling, about 3 motorcycles this year and a boat. I've had more time. I never had time to do stuff on the weekends because I was always traveling. And I actually enjoyed this time off. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't miss wrestling as much as I thought I would. I actually don't even miss the wrestling part that much. I miss going out with the boys afterwards and the camaraderie. But we've still, some of us, been getting together and doing that anyway. So, but the actual in-ring part of it, I haven't really missed. And I thought I would.
Yeah, me too. Like I think a lot of people in the business, because you've seen a lot of people have been retiring. I think a lot of people realize once it slowed down how nice it is to just be home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I always thought, what am I going to do when I can't wrestle anymore? What am I going to do when wrestling's over? You know, when I can't wrestle anymore, I worried about it, and I found out there's plenty of other things for me to do that I can enjoy. You know, I used to ride motorcycles all the time when I was younger, but I never had time on weekend. Now I've gotten into motorcycling again, boating and stuff like that. And that's stuff I hadn't done for.
You live your life.
That?
And you have fun.
Yeah.
You live your life and you have fun. You know, that's what life's about.
I spend a lot more time with family.
Yeah, I've been reading books that I read when I was a kid that I've been wanting to read again. And, you know, I think, you know, I like. There's so much that I can do. Like, I have always enjoyed reading, so I've really been getting back into reading, and, like, I'm looking forward to sitting on that beach that you saw the picture of and reading and having playing with my dog out there. Just, you know, that's the life for me.
You don't want to let people know where that spot is, though, too much, because then it won't be a nice secluded spot for you anymore.
Notice I haven't been posting where it is.
Yep.
You know, only a couple people that I know where that actually is. So, and there's a campsite right next to it that's for RVs, that's free for 2 weeks at a time. So, yeah, I ain't telling nobody. I'm not telling nobody because it is in the middle of nowhere. I just stumbled into it. You know what I mean? I was driving with my dog on my way out here, and I actually got lost and ended up there. And it ended up being a happy accident because I ended up falling in love with the place while I was there. So, I really liked it. It was really peaceful and calm and beautiful. People were driving. They were just driving on the road, and they were just pulling over and, like, taking pictures and just getting out and walking around because it just has that kind of effect when you go by. It's like 1 minute you're in the mountains and the next minute you're on a beach. And the beach, you look out, and it looks kind of like Kong Skull Island because there's, like, little islands out there. You know what I mean? Like, it's really cool. Yeah, it's really beautiful spot.
I think I might know the spot, but I won't say where it's at. But it's Northern California, isn't it?
Yes.
I've been all down through there, and I thought I recognized it when I saw it, but I wasn't going to say anything on Facebook in front of anything off, but I think I know where it's at.
I don't care. If they find out, they find out. But it's in between Oregon and California. It's in the mountains. It's in the mountains right there as you go through the pass.
Yeah, when Debashi and I go down for Rumble in the Redwoods, we go through there.
Yeah, exactly. If you probably pass
yep.
right through it.
Yep,
so,
I've been there a couple
so,
times.
So damn beautiful. I fell in love with it. Like, it really got me. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Because, I mean, I like, I spent some time in prison when I was a kid. And you know the shit I went through. Like,
yeah. yep.
when you go through shit like that, you appreciate the sereneness and the calmness, you know, of that kind of stuff, you know, and that kind of peace and that kind of freedom. You know, sitting there smoking a legal marijuana joint, you know, smoking a legal
mm-hmm.
marijuana joint in my RV on the beach, reading my Marvel Comics graphic novel sound, with my little chihuahua on my lap sound is incredible. So that sounds like a happy ending to me.
That's what I love about Puerto Rico, because there's so many areas there where you can just, anywhere there, you can just pull off the side of the road, you know, on the beaches. Like, it's not like it is over here where they got restricted areas and all that. You can go swim or go on the beach anywhere, anything along the coast there, other than the hotels is like public property. And there's all kinds of secluded areas you can just pull off, lay on a beach, and be out there by yourself by the ocean in different areas. Especially over in Mayagüez, over on the western side of the island where I'm the houses that I'm buying. Like, there's really a lot of areas over there that are kind of secluded. And that's what
Bonnie
I like.
Pretty
just, lay on a beach,
Bonnie
go out there and float.
Excited. Bonnie excited
What's
about
that?
It. Is
yes,
Bonnie
she is.
Excited about it?
Yes, she is. Yep. I think we're both ready
yes,
for a little more slower paced lifestyle than we have now.
Oh, yeah. I think we all are. I know Terry and I are for sure. The world's trying to break us up a million times, so, you know, we're glad that it's finally going to be just us. So,
how long do you think you'll be in down in the Arizona area?
I don't know. Just through some of my relative surgery. It's coming up in a couple weeks, and then I'm already going to look at RVs next few weeks. So,
mm-hmm.
I got to get back up to my kids because I miss them so much. So
yeah, I know.
Be here for
I know you do. I was surprised when you were going to Arizona because I knew all your kids and all, you know, I mean the majority of your immediate family was all up there, so I knew it was not going to be a good move for you.
It was a necessity at the time, but I'm getting it all figured out. I need to get my head clear too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's nice just to take a break from everything and get away, you know, and reassess everything.
Well, she just Terry was having a midlife crisis and her kid was moving out and there was just a lot going on and a lot had to be figured out. And I think in the end, we got it all figured out the way it needs to be figured out. So good for me. I end up happy. You end up happy. We all end up happy.
Yep. It's everything has a happy ending. Our life stories have a happy ending.
Well, so where can people see you next, my friend? Where can they catch the Chief at Akula Kula next?
Well, right now, like I said, I do the WPOV thing. Most Mondays it's recorded and it's usually out a week later. Right now I have only tentative stuff scheduled for wrestling because, of course, everybody's waiting to hear from athletic commissions on when they're going to be allowed to open back up. I know Brian Blade with MBWA over here in the Midwest, he put out a video last week, and we have tentative dates and starting in April, but that's if they open things up by then. He has buildings rented, but they let him do it kind of on a tentative schedule. Obviously, if the state athletic commissions don't open up, then we won't have those shows. But he's got shows scheduled in Kansas, Nebraska, and in Illinois, and Wisconsin. So hopefully those come off. If that happens, then starting in April, things will be kicking back in. Like I said, they got a hold of me the other day from Puerto Rico. They're thinking they're going to know sometime in early February when they're going to be able to run again. So sounds like things might be opening up down there. But right now, nobody really has anything etched in stone. In May, I'll be down at the Hall of Fame in Texas if that doesn't get canceled. They have it. They started advertising it, tentatively scheduled. Last year, it got canceled, but they think they're going to be able to have it in some form this year. So that's usually the third weekend in May, I think. But yeah, right now it's just kind of like everybody. I think everything's somewhat up in the air. We have tentative plans, but nothing's etched in stone at this point.
Yeah, the world's definitely going to be much different coming out of all this, Rod, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's going to be some permanent changes. I mean, they even said, like, you know, I work in an office during the day. I manage a taxi company, and I manage a non-emergency medical transport for wheelchair transport. And, like, everything's done on Zoom meetings now. And they think a lot of that, like, the airlines are probably never going to get completely back to normal because a lot of people are finding out they can just have their people do meetings over Zoom, so you don't need to be flying people places and putting them up in hotels when you can just do it over Zoom. So I think there's going to be a lot of permanent changes, especially as far as business goes. So I think this did make, you know, there's some things are never going to completely go back to normal. It'll be the new norm, like they say now, but some things will get back to normal. You know, I think wrestling will and other things, but the way business is conducted and a lot of other things, I think are going to definitely, it's going to be a new world for sure.
Well, a lot of countries have been cutting the work week, saying that 5-day work weeks are unhealthy for families. A lot of countries have been going to 4-day work weeks, and a lot of American companies are going to that now too.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people working from home now, and I know Google and Facebook even said that they have most of their employees working from home, and they think they're going to make that permanent instead of they won't have to have all these office spaces and office buildings now because it's kind of working out with people working from home. I think Europe's kind of been a lot of forever, like a 4-day work week, and then they have like an entire month where people go on holiday basically, and I think maybe things will go like that. Of course, the United States and Japan's always been kind of a workaholic country, and the United States is somewhat like that too, but there maybe there'll be some good changes out of it. People won't be so overworked.
Absolutely, and I think we just got to hope good shit for the future.
Yep.
We got to hang tough.
That's all. Well, like you said earlier, we got to hope for the best and prepare for the worst. That way, you're always prepared, but. I appreciate you having me on. I always enjoy talking with you.
I'm going to have you on again, too, and we got Wheels on, too, because he's always got great questions and stuff. He's going through some surgeries and stuff, and he's out of it. And I apologize. I'm cutting it a little short tonight because I'm not feeling well. So I'm going to go ahead and cut it a little short because I'm actually honestly just not feeling well. So
I understand. I hope you get to feeling better, but anytime you want me back on, just let me know. I'll be here for you, brother.
Absolutely. This is a great interview, and we definitely have you on again, man. And I really appreciate you calling in and sharing and being so cool. And hopefully next time I'll even be a little more cheerier, and I won't have to get up and barf during the show. That was a new one. That's never happened on Full Jugular before.
Another Ron Von Hesper.
Oh, man, I puked in the sink, dude. It was ugly. Like, I barely made it. It was gross. So, yeah, it was not cool. But I soldiered through and made it through the whole show, so I'm pretty happy about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, my guest. Go ahead, Rod.
I was going to say, that's because you're old school, brother.
That's right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest, my good friend, Chief John of Kula Kula. Catch him everywhere. Support him. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, Rod.
Thank you. Have a good night, Ron.
You too, man. We'll see you guys next time. I'm not feeling good. We're going to cut this one short. We'll see you next week.